Ukraine feels the squeeze this morning on its energy umbilical cord attached to Russia.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective. Russia said today it might cut off natural gas supplies to Ukraine unless a payment deal is reached soon. Russia is also talking about forcing Ukraine to pay in advance for the gas it buys from Gazprom, the Russian state-owned natural gas company. The BBC's Jonathan Fruin is following the story from London.
Gazprom's decision follows several rounds of unsuccessful talks involving Russia, Ukraine, and the European Union over the price that Kiev should pay for the gas. But Gazprom said that it would continue to supply customers in Europe via Ukraine, and it was Kiev's responsibility to ensure transit of that gas. The EU gets 15% of its gas from Russia via Ukraine, and Ukraine about half of its supply. Analysts say that the consequences of Gazprom's decision are unlikely to be felt for some months, in part because we're in the summer months when demand for gas is lower, and also because countries tend to have considerable reserves of gas.
According to the Financial Times, officials in Ukraine today claim that Russia began dropping the pressure in its gas lines about 5 hours ago, that is to say, dropping pressure to increase pressure. There's a huge merger that'll bring together two companies that make fancy medical tools and implantable devices. Medtronic of Minneapolis will buy Covidien, based in Ireland, for nearly $43 billion in cash and stock. Medtronic says the combined company will still be managed from Minnesota, but analysts say it could take advantage of Ireland's controversial lower corporate tax rate, to save money. Medtronic argues the deal will free up resources, allowing it to increase its R&D budget in the U.S. over the coming years. Now let's check some other numbers. The 100-share index in London is down 0.25% at the moment, a similar percentage drop for the DAX index in Germany. About 2.5 hours before the opening bell on Wall Street, Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are down. In the 1970s, after the first jumbo jet for passengers came on the market, many airlines had trouble filling seats on Boeing's giant 747. Some say that led to the demise of a once great airline, Pan Am. Now, Airbus of Europe is worried about unsold seats on its huge A380 jumbo. The double-decker plane is not selling well either, as Conrad Wilson reports.
The A380 was supposed to change aviation as we know it. Airports around the world even remodeled to accommodate the huge jet.
The A380 is a niche airplane.
Robert Mann, a former airline executive, says the reality is there's only a few airlines and airports in the world where the A380 makes sense.
Anybody who had a need for them or could conceive of a need for them has ordered them.
And that's left an opening for Boeing. Richard Abdullafia, an aviation analyst at the Thiel Group, says most airlines are interested in long-haul, twin-engine jets that can seat between 250 and 400 people.
That's where the action is.
Abdullafia says that fits nicely with what Boeing offers with the Dreamliner and its redesigned 777X.
That puts Airbus at a competitive disadvantage.
Airbus is trying to answer Boeing with a slightly smaller jet, the redesigned A350. But last week, Emirates Airline canceled its order for 70 of those planes. I'm Conrad Wilson for Marketplace.
It is the end of spawning season for the horseshoe crab. We don't normally discuss arthropods on this program, but this one happens to be quite economically significant, Marketplace's Sabri Benishour reports.
This is the sound of horseshoe crabs coming ashore to spawn on a beach in Brooklyn. This has been going on for hundreds of millions of years through the beginning of the dinosaurs and the extinction of the dinosaurs and the ice ages, and then people happened. Didn't go well for the crabs.
Over 100 years ago, they were ground up and put on land as a fertilizer.
Eric Hallerman is professor of fish conservation at Virginia Tech. He says in some places, this wiped out 90% of the crab population. And nobody bothered too much about it until people discovered in the 70s that they need the crabs. Alan Bergenson is with biomedical firm Lonza.
Every human on the face of the earth, if they've ever been given an injectable medicine, has been touched by LAL.
LAL is a test for bacterial contamination. It's made from the crab's blood, without killing the crabs usually. The test is used throughout the medical industry, and it's among the reasons that gradually people and governments started to care about the crab.
We've created laws that make sure that the animals are returned to sea.
John Dubchek is with biomed company Charles River Endosafe in South Carolina. In that state, the industry lobbied to ban fishermen from harvesting hundreds of thousands of crabs to use as sea snail bait. And now the industry is competing within itself to see who can use the fewest crabs. Dubchek with Charles River.
Where we use 1/20th the amount of the blood.
Bergenson with Lonza.
We can now make this product without requiring horseshoe crab blood.
Now, these companies are fighting bitterly over which product is better, but the whole thing raises a different way of thinking about nature.
Sort of nature for nature's sake, nature for people's sake.
Janet Ranganathan is vice president for science and research at the World Resources Institute. And don't get her wrong, she loves nature. She just wishes more people valued in dollar terms what it does for them. In some cases, that has saved entire ecosystems.
In the 80s, water quality was degrading in New York City because of development in the Catskill, Delaware watershed.
Instead of building a $6 billion water filtration plant, the city spent a fraction of that just protecting the forests that purified its water. Something similar is going on with the crabs. In some cases, making money off of something can be a good way to protect it. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour for Marketplace.
Another story we're covering this morning, Starbucks could soon pay for thousands of its workers to earn an online college degree from Arizona State University. Employees will have to work at least 20 hours a week for that perk. The announcement is expected later today. If you miss our coverage on the air, it'll be at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.